For Bibles, and we'll open up to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, you find that place, and we'll stand as we give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. And I'll attest to that. I thank God the Lord's been real good in my life. And I'll tell you, Ellie getting up and playing that, the Lord's been dealing my heart about that. But if I'm not going to preach on tonight, but I am going to preach on the Sam Gibson message. That's what I'm going to title it when I preach on it, is to get your head in the thing. Amen. And we get our head in, get our heart in what the Lord's doing. It makes a big difference, don't it? Amen. I was thinking while Ellie's, I'm going to say this. I'm going to encourage her. There's just a few people along, and this is not to discount nobody else. I don't want nobody to take it that way. But there's a few people in life that God's give them talent, and whenever they play their instrument, it's a means of worshiping that's real. And we got two of them, and we got several folks that play, and they play well, but that's not what I'm saying. But the spirit of that on Ricky, whenever he plays, that's just he worships through them ivory notes. Right. And when Kevin Wright plays that ocarina, whatever it is he plays, he worships through those notes on that thing. And if you've ever heard Sweet Rose Swan, whenever she takes that bow and she hits the first note on that violin, all of a sudden God just honors it, and you step back and you say, man alive. And when Ellie was up there playing, I was thinking in my heart, man, I hope the same spirit that rests on that will rest on her life going forward. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? Thank God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, I say praise the Lord. You find that place. One of my favorite passages of scripture, and for a whole lot of it. All right, let's look there in verse number 19. The Apostle Paul records it like this. He said, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. He said, unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, I might gain them that are without the law. I like verse 22. He said, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you tonight. And the Lord God, I thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Thank you, God, for keeping us all safe and honoring that request as we got here. Thank you, Lord, that we can without reservation have stepped back, Lord, in our life and say that, God, as we look back, truly the Lord has been good. I thank you, Father God, for being so kind to us. I pray for a few moments of time tonight. Hey, God, you'd help us to preach the Word of God. Father God, with unction and with authority and with power from on high. And God, we don't want to be a tinkling cymbal and nor sound in brass. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Father, just to mind you the best we can. I pray, bring out of us, God, what you put in us, and do it all for your glory. Lord, we love you tonight, and thank you for everything you've done. Ask it all in Christ's name, and for his sake I do pray. Amen and amen. I like when you come to 1 Corinthians, of course you know that the Apostle Paul's having a deal. When you open up to the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul's having to deal with a lot of issues. But I thank God, despite everything that God's having to deal with issue-wise, hey, some places in here where the Holy Ghost of God just gets to love hold of. And I got to thinking about this. I want to point out to you a few things, and then we'll just to move on. I want you to notice when you come right here at the Apostle Paul, first of all, in verses 24 and 25, he said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. He said, so run that you may obtain. Every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. How they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. I thank God, but the Bible says, but we an incorruptible. And so I notice, first of all, there is a prize that he's focused on. He's reminding him how that, beloved, that there's going to come a day, and it won't be very long. And what we're striving for is not to stand on a podium where men crown us with palms or with gold or with medals. But thank God, there's going to come a day and we're going to strive and we'll stand before God after an incorruptible crown. But then I want you to notice it. I notice that there's a prize he's focused on. But then I see in verse 27, verse 26 rather, he said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, and so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. And so thank God I see that there's a purpose that he fought with. I mean, listen, friend, he wasn't out south there and just trying to haphazardly be a part of this thing. I mean, listen, I feel like that's the way a lot of Christians have tried to serve this thing. I'm like, thank God, if God wants them in, they'll get in. But the Bible says of some having compassion and making a difference, amen, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments that are spotted with their flesh. I mean, thank God, listen, all I know is this, we've got some responsibility in this thing. Hey, friend, thank God, if you know somebody's dying and going to hell, we ought to go tell them about it, amen. I try to pull them out of that. But then I want you to notice in chapter 11, in verse number 1, the Bible says this. He said, be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ. Man, I thought, what a powerful statement. And we find a prize he's focused on and a purpose that he's fighting with. But then I want you to notice here, there's a pattern that he's following after. I wonder how many of us would stand up and say, you follow me, and just because I'm a follower of him that close. I mean, wouldn't that be a blessing? I feel like in America, we're more interested in saying things like this, and do as I say and not as I do. Amen. And we'll say, thank God, we know what's right. We recognize what's right. We like to tell people how to do what's right. But when it comes down to practicing it, and thank God, that's an entirely different story. But the Apostle Paul said this. I believe he was honest. I believe, thank God, he meant it. When he said, you follow me and I'm a following him. I think you could have followed Paul's steps and you could have followed right in behind the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord help me tonight, I'd like to preach on this talk. I mean, when he gets down there, that you find that the Apostle Paul was interested in this. He said he had became all things and to all men. If the Lord help us, I'd like to preach on the things that the Apostle Paul was. Turn with me in your Bible in 2 Peter and chapter number 3. I mean, I'm just going to read here and there and everywhere. And we'll thank God, might read 31,102 verses tonight. You can't never tell. But thank God, 2 Peter, you turn there. And chapter number 3, the Bible records it like this. And one of those great things. And the Bible said in chapter 3, verse 15, he said, an account at the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. I like that title there. One of the titles the Apostle Paul has is he has the title of a brother. Amen. And might I say this to you tonight? If you go read through your Bible, you'll find the Apostle Paul is the first person that ever has this title in the instance in which he's using it right here. And the Bible teaches us whenever he got on the road to Damascus, got converted, and by the good grace of God, that Ananias went in there, and he's the first person to say, he said, brother Paul, and brother Saul, receive thy sight. He's the first person to ever find out. I thought, thank God. And listen, of all the titles you could ever have, ain't it a good title to be a brother and a sister in the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, the first thing it makes us all related. Now, we don't look all the same, thank God. And you can tell that by looking at some of us. I mean, listen, friend, we've got all kinds of different nationalities. We come from different and backgrounds and all those sorts of things. But when only come in the house of God, and we're all in here by blood. I've got to, if you've ever been by the drugstore, I've got to, there's a fellow works with me named Jacob, and me and Jacob's got about the same build, and we're about the same height, and everybody that comes in there thinks that we're the other person, and they'll come in and they'll ask Jacob, and they'll say, hey, you two must be brothers, and Jacob always says this, he'll always say we're blood related, and just not by the same mother or father, and thank God, listen, I'm glad that we are blood related, amen, and we're blood brothers, thank God, and whether you want to be or not, if you're saved by the grace of God, hey, you're my brother and sister in Christ, and thank God, hey, listen, I'm glad we're related. Hey, Apostle Paul said this, he said that he was a brother. I thought, man, what a title. Hey, so look, we live in a time when everybody, I mean, they really like them titles, and they like reverence, and they like doctorates, and listen, and they like all them, and all them letters that come after their name, and the letters that come before their name. But thank God, listen, I've never had the doctors in this Bible, and they're not real good company, and the only person ever called reverend, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said reverend and holy is his name, amen. I'm not no good reverend. There's only one reverend, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It don't say reverend on my Bible. It don't say reverend on an ordained certificate. It don't say reverend nowhere as far as I know. And I thank God for it. But I like the title brother, amen. Hey, you know what that means? That signifies I've had a new birth. I'm born into a new family. Hey, I'm glad, thank God. How folks say whatever they want to say. I'd rather be in the family of God than anything I can think about. I mean, I know we've got some brothers or sisters that we'd like to kick out, amen. I mean, we got some maybe don't act just right. But I thank God for it anyhow. Hey, listen, these times, that all of us hadn't been just exactly what we ought to be. But I'm glad I'm a brother nonetheless, amen. I say, thank God. Hey, listen, it means we're related. But I'll tell you what else it means. Now listen, I want you to tune in right here. If you're a brother in Christ and you go by the name brother, I ask if you've been born again, you go by sister or brother. Not only does it mean we're related, but it also means we're responsible. Amen. Here's what he said over there. Hey, you remember whenever the Lord came to Cain, and he begins to ask him about it. He said, am I my brother's keeper? And the answer is yes. Amen. I mean, the answer to that thing, if you want to know where you stand at, is you are responsible for the person sitting next to you. You better believe that. Amen. And we're accountable to each other. And I don't know when we got away from that in the house of God, but it do us all good to get back to it. Amen. I mean, listen, thank God. You ought not be able to be out naming the name of Christ and doing whatever you want to do and living however you want to live. And you say, well, it doesn't affect nobody but me. No, you're a part of my family. Amen. I don't want you, thank God, to give our family a bad name. Amen. So live right, thank God. And do what's right. Amen. And we're responsible to each other. Amen. I get told this all the time. I mean, now probably none of y'all would ever do this. How much you know I get used as a tool. I get weaponized from time to time. And they'll say things like this, Justin. They'll say, well, what about, well, what if we tell Brother Kevin about that? And listen, Ren, I'm not God, but I'm going to tell you this. And this is what I've heard some folks say. They'll say, well, it ain't none of his business. Hey, man, if you're sitting on the pews in this church, it's my business and it's Brother Savage's business and it's Samuel's business and thank God it's Jordan's. And if you ain't living right, it's everybody's business in this church. Amen. I think that's right, don't you? I mean, listen, friend, you're not doing things ungodly. You are responsible to everybody in this building. Amen. You better believe that's right. Thank God you said ain't none of your business. Well, listen, if folks are dying and going to hell, I'm because things are a little tight in the church. And the reason things is tight, folks walk in a lot of sin. That makes it that way. You better believe that. And so all of a sudden now, we've got an atmosphere where folks can't get saved. That makes it everybody's business. You understand? And now I'm not standing in that place, and I don't think nobody else is, or they're acting like they're better than anybody else. I'm just saying we are responsible for one another. Amen. And so Paul said that we find he is related and we find that he is responsible. But then I thought about this. Notice with me, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. Turn back there with me. Just we're right just there. I want you to watch this right here, friend. I mean, you start thinking about all these things. That's our responsibility to regard it. Notice what the Bible says here. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And I watch. I hope the Lord will help you tonight. I hope the Lord will help us tonight. And verse number 8. The Bible said, but meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, or if we eat not are we the better. And verse 9 he said, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block of them that are weak. For if any man see that thou hast knowledge, said it meaneth the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things that are offered to idols? And through the knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Amen. And so listen to me. Let me show you this right here. Everybody stay tuned with me, all right? I mean, I'm feeling pretty good in the Lord tonight. Hey, if you're here and you're a youngin' and you're under the age of 16, I want you to stand up right now. At 16 years old, I want you to stand up. All over the house under 16 years old, I want you to stand up. And now listen, I want everybody to take a real good look at them. And I want you to understand what I'm going to say. And I want to be very plain. If you're doing something in your life and that would hinder Hadley from her walk with the Lord, it's a sin and you ought to quit it. Amen. If you're doing something, if my boy can't walk with you, and listen, if Hattie and Audrey and Zay, if I can't leave them at your house, I let them listen to what you're listening to, and watch what you're watching, and do what you're doing, and you ought to stop it. It's a sin unto God. Amen. And you say it ain't hurting nobody. I'm telling you, if it offend any one of them and hinder their walk with the Lord, it's wrong. Amen. Praise God. Let me run that by you one more time. It's wrong. Amen. Y'all can say amen right there. Y'all can sit down. Amen. I'm telling you, here's what he said. And that means we've got responsibility. We've got responsibility. If I drop them off with you, if I let them follow around you, if I let them be where you're at, you ought to look at them as a brother. And if you listen to me, I want you to hear me. Hey, some things that I've got liberty to do in the Lord and that I would never do. Have my friend, for the sake of offending a weaker brother. Are you listening to me? There's some things you say, Brother Kevin, there's nothing wrong with this. Well, will it offend somebody who's weaker than you? If the answer is yes, and then thank God, listen, you ought to stop doing it. Amen. Let me tell you some things that offend me. Could I say it like that? Hey, listen, thank God. I say it from time to time. If you out buying scratch-offs, that offends me. Amen. That defiles my weak conscience, and it becomes a sin. And you ought to quit it, amen. I think that's right. Don't you think that's right? I mean, listen, praise God. And Paul's a brother, and as a result of that, thank God he ought to regard the other brothers that maybe are weaker than he is. And if you don't, there's something wrong with your brand of Christianity. It don't line up with what the Bible says, amen. And so we find, first of all, Paul's a brother. And that whenever we talk about brother, that refers to a change he's had. But then I like what the Bible says. Turn with me. The book of Galatians. We're in 1 Corinthians. I'll try not to preach too long, but I'll preach till I get done. How's that? And the book of Galatians, chapter number 1. I like this one real good. And I like the way he says it. I like the attitude he says it with. Amen. I like everything about it. Thank God. And whenever you read the book of Galatians, Paul does not start with his usual mercy and grace and his usual salutations, and he writes it all of them, how he's so kind to everybody. That's how he starts Galatians. How he starts the book of Galatians like this. He said, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised raised him from the dead. Hey, listen, he don't even start it in a real kind way. He's dealing with a problem, and right out of the gate, he wants you to know. Not only is he Paul the brethren that speaks about his change, but here we find he's Paul an apostle, and that speaks about his calling. I thank God. Listen, hey friend, you came all the way out. I'll deal with some things tonight. I have some questions I get asked on a pretty regular basis. And if you've asked me these questions, I promise you I don't have not one person in my mind right now. I probably done forgot you was one of the people that asked it. But you hear me nonetheless anyway. One of the questions I get asked all the time is, how do I know what the will of God is for my life? How do I know what God wants me to do? How do I know? Hey, said Brother Kevin, I'm trying to figure this out. How do I know what God's will is for me? I'll tell you what you do till God shows it to you. You do what you know's right. Amen. Thank God. I mean, I talk to folk and they're trying to figure out if the Lord's wanting them to do this or that or go be a missionary. And I say, well, are you reading your Bible? I said, no, I'm not reading my Bible. And well, are you praying? And said, no, I'm not praying like I ought to. And well, thank God, God's probably not dealing with you how to be a missionary. I'll tell you what y'all do, friend. And just do what's right. And just keep doing what's right. And you say, Brother Kevin, I don't know what the will of God is. He's outlined a pretty good will right here. I study, show thyself approved unto God. A workman in not be ashamed, right, divide the word of truth. Amen. For which cause we faint not. Hey, listen, thank God. Be not always to pray and not to faint. And thank God, go to the whole world and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach all nations. Observing all things whatsoever I commanded you. And Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I mean, thank God, we've got some pretty good instruction about what to do. Amen. Amen. I find it like this. It's usually not what we're wanting to do. I mean, it's usually not we're trying to figure out something new to do. But God's already outlined it. And here's what I found. Most of us ain't doing 3/4 of what he already told us to do. Amen. And so, thank God. Let's get back to doing what he said was right. And it'll help us, thank God. And to go, Paul was an apostle. I like how he says it. He says, thank God, an apostle. He said, not of man, neither by man. He said, but by Jesus Christ. I remember listening to this old preacher, and I was in Birmingham, and he was talking about this. He said that there's a fellow came up to his church to preach one time. He said, a little black lady went up to him, and she said, sir, I need to know which kind you are. And she said, what do you mean by that? He said, are you the kind that was sent, or the kind that just went? Amen. I thought, thank God, man, that got on me. Amen. Are you the kind that was sent or the kind that just went? I found this out the other day. He said that Brother Dave Barnhouse was telling me. He said that as far as Bible colleges and seminaries are concerned, that they're chalked full, and that Baptist pastors have one of the lowest unemployment rates that there are. Listen to me. He said, so they're flooding them. He said that they estimate at this point in time that almost 70% of them have never had any genuine call from the Lord. And then we step back and we say, man, why is there churches in the shape they're in? This ain't a 9-to-5 thing, I can assure you of that. Oh, thank God. Find better things to do for your mind and for your health. But I'm telling you, thank God. And God puts a call on folks' life. And when he does, they ought to respond to it. Amen. Paul said he is an apostle. That means, thank God, he was called, he was taught, and he saw him himself. Amen. No more apostles in our day. If you listen to me, I want everybody look up here. If you flicking through a TikTok and all that sort of thing, and Instagrams and YouTube videos, and it says apostle so-and-so, just go ahead and thumbs down that thing. They're a liar. Amen. And if it says prophet so-and-so, and just go ahead and thumbs down that thing. There ain't no prophets in our day, thank God. We don't need any new prophecy. I mean, we ain't even got our mind wrapped around what he's already said. Amen. And there's no new thing under the sun. It's recorded forever. Paul, hey, listen, friend, was the last apostle. Amen. Be known no more. Aren't you glad for that? Thank God we got preachers in our day. I thank God for it. We don't have no deaconesses. We ain't got no prophetesses. Amen. Somebody help me on that. I mean, less than our day. I mean, in our day, when we got Paula White's and all that bunch of reprobates pastoring churches. Listen, it is unscriptural for a lady to be a pastor. It is out of order as far as God's concerned. It don't mean anything's less of them. But in our day, whenever they're coming out of the closet everywhere and doing whatever they want, God still has an order. Amen. Yeah. Paul, an apostle. So we find that's his calling. I like that. Now, we like those two. I like those two. I like Paul the brother. I like Paul the apostle. Hey, what about here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6? I want you to turn back there with me, if you will, real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. You can find this actually. I mean, you can find it in Romans chapter 1. You can find it just, you can find it all kinds. You turn to Romans chapter number, or 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'll turn there with you in just a second. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, he said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And so we find Paul's a brother. Hey, and I thank God that means he's responsible. Talks about his change. Paul's an apostle. I guarantee you he takes his calling seriously. And here we find Paul a servant. Oh, we like him first too. I mean, Paul a brother and Paul an apostle. What about old Paul the servant? Amen. Not too many folks are interested in being servants in our day. Thank God. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and man, it blessed my heart. He said to Brother Kevin, said, I'd like to have something to do or whatever the case may be. And I asked him, I said, what do you want to do? He said, I don't care. He said, take out the trash and clean toilets with the toothbrush, whatever it is that you'd have me to do. And I always think back, probably some of you have listened to him before, but that old time preacher Ed Ballou has listened to Ed Ballou preach one time, and he's talking about pastoring a church down in Florida. And Brother Joshua talked about this old lady coming in, and this lady come up, and she said, Brother Ballou, and she said, please don't take my job. I said, please don't take my job. And you know, Ed Ballou, he is a pretty rough is what he was. Amen. I don't know how else to say it. He's a pretty rough old feller. He said, I was thinking in myself, this woman right here, I'm fixing to have to deal with her. He said, I mean, she was crying, Selena. She said, please don't take my job. He said, ma'am, what's your job? And she said, every service, after the service is over, said, I go lay under the pews and I scrape the bubble gum off the bottom of them. And she said, please don't let nobody have my job. He said, no, honey, I think your job's safe. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this. That's a job. Listen, you say, brother, that's foolish. I'll tell you this. She gets to the judgment seat of Christ. She'll be in business, thank God. And she's a doing it for the Lord. Amen. You better believe that. Amen. I mean, listen, there wasn't nobody else wanting to do that. But she loved doing it for God so much, and it moved her to tears to think she might lose it. What about that? I mean, listen, we need some more servants in our day. Paul said he is a servant. I'll tell you a few things that needs. That means, first of all, he had a master. Are you listening to me? I mean, listen, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 19, said you're no longer your own. You're no longer your own. Listen to me. Let me just, while I'm here, let me just deal with it, all right? Let me just have I got a lot of liberty, so I'm going to take it while I got it, amen. Hey, listen, you understand, the moment you got born again by the grace of God, that you no longer own your own self. You're the manager of it at best. You're a steward of it, and God owns the property. And now, listen, thank God, and as a result of that, you're just a manager over it. And so that means this, whatever you put in your body ought to be approved by the owner. Are y'all listening to me? Have listened to me, dear friend. Whatever you put on your body ought to be approved by the owner of it. Hey, listen, here's what I think about it. I was, and I probably shared some of this with you. I was talking with a person the other day, hadn't been born again Christian. They said, well, hey, someone go get me a tattoo. Hey, said, I feel like that'd be right. I'd like to have me one. Nobody's going to see it. It'll be fine. I said, well, listen, did you talk about to the owner? How about that thing? And they said, well, I did. And he's all right with it. I said, the only problem's this. He already said he was not all right with it. Hey, listen, thank God. And he ain't changed his mind on it. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you this. Beside this, I've taught my boys, and y'all do whatever you want to. You're the parents. You do however you want to, Lisa. Thank God. But I'm going to tell you what I told my boys. I said, I have never one time, not one time, not listen to me, not one time, not one time have I ever seen a bumper sticker on a Ferrari. Not one time. It don't make sense for something to be that valuable. Have to trash it up. That was something that I'd like a bumper sticker. Amen. And so I say, praise God. If you're owned and bought by the King, it don't make no sense. Amen. Ain't that right? Hey, listen, that's my other favorite phrase of the year. Get your head in the game, and that don't make no sense. Amen. Hey, listen, thank God for it. I know these folks that have them. And I'm not, look here, I'm not against you. Amen. I'm just saying, thank God. If we was taught a little better, we knew a little more, we ought not be running around. I heard one idiot say it this way, and y'all have forgiven me for being, I'm saying how I said it. But it was sheer idiocy. This person said, when the Lord comes back, he's going to have a tattoo. It's going to say King of Kings and Lord of Lords on his thigh. I said, thank God. I'm man alive. You have to get way far off the boat. Had to thank the Lord Jesus Christ. I stopped by a tattoo parlor before he came to get the church. Amen. That's crazy. Amen. That's crazy. People believe that though. In our day, talked with a preacher not long ago, and he said, Brother Kevin, ain't even no use in preaching about tattoos anymore. He said, everybody's got them, and the ones sitting in church that ain't got them want them. Somebody help me right there. Boy, it got quiet in here on that one, didn't it? Hey, listen, look at me. And if you put Philippians 4:13 on you, that don't make it right neither, amen. Praise God. I'll say, brother, listen, I've had them come in the drugstore, flip out a cross and say, hey, Brother Kevin, don't you like that? I say, no, I don't like it, neither does God. Amen. 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 Listen, don't get nervous, friend. I'm just saying what I read this, said that, hey, either got them or they want them. And I thought, why do we want them? Why in the world do we want to be like the world? Hey, man, I don't want a nose piercing. Do you want one of them? Praise God. I say, listen, I'm way off right here, but I'm fixing to get back on. I see these ladies in their day, and they run around with them hoops right here between their noses. And every time I see one, I think, I wonder what Brother Mitchell would have said if he'd have been here and he saw one of them. He'd have seen them in their bullfighting breeches with their hog rings in their nose. That's untelling what he'd have said. Amen. Y'all know that's right. Amen. And thank God, listen, if it was wrong then, it's still wrong now. Amen. Amen. You said, that don't bother me. Well, it offends me. It offends me. Don't offend my weak conscience. Be a sin unto the Lord. I wouldn't want one of our ladies in our church running in looking like that, would you? Somebody help me out right there. Praise God. I don't want one of my young men in my church showing up with earrings either. Somebody help me on that one. Praise God. I think our men ought to look like men. Think that's right. We don't wear dresses in here. I mean, if you're men, you wear breeches. Amen. Thank God. I think that's what we all look like. Amen. Hey, listen to me, friend. I'm just saying simply this. You've got a master. You've got a master. He owns you, bought you, lock, stock, and barrel. Amen. And if it dishonors him, it really don't matter how you feel about it. There's going to come a day you're going to have to give an account of what you've done in your body unto the one who owns that body. So he's got a master and he's on a mission. Hey, if you're a servant, thank God. You can't just be haphazardly going through life, wandering around in the field. Hey, man, there's more to be done than that. And so once you notice it, now listen to me, don't get mad at me. Y'all please not. I felt it get tight on me. I was having so much liberty and then it got tight on me. That made me real nervous, amen. When it gets tight on me and I'm saying like that, that usually means I'm plowing a little close to the vest. And that don't bother me. But for the sake of the meeting tonight, everybody brave the cold. Let's all be kind and just say, we're going to do what's right in the Bible, and it doesn't matter what the world thinks. Amen. 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 Praise God. I want my wife to look like a lady. Amen. I don't want you to be confused when you show up in this, which one of us is the man and which one's the woman. I'm honest with you. I think that's right. Y'all think that's right? I don't know why the world thinks it's wrong. Thank God. Listen, I'm against. I'm moving on, I promise you. But I am against masculine women and I'm against feminine men. Both of them. I think men ought to be men. I think women ought to be women. Amen, amen. All right, let's look at what Paul's other title is before I get in more trouble. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. I just said that, and I didn't mean that, not even a stitch. I ain't worried about being in trouble. Amen. Thank God. Ephesians chapter 3. We find Paul's a brother. We find Paul's a servant. We find Paul's an apostle. Ephesians chapter number 3. Here the Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter number 3. You can go in just about any kind of place that you want to be at and find it all over. But I like how it says in chapter 3 verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Man alive, what a title. Apostle Paul said, hey, listen, not only was he a servant, that talked about his commitment. Then we find right here, we find he's a prisoner. That talks about his convictions. Whenever you look at the Apostle Paul, could I say this? You find this term over and over. You find it in Philemon. You find it in Philippians. You find it in Ephesians. You find it in Colossians. You find it in 2 Timothy. Paul, over and over and over again, he talks about how he's a prisoner. And every time he says it, he says, thank God, I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not of Rome, not of Jews. Thank God, he said, I'm a prisoner because the Lord wanted me to be a prisoner. Now, all the rest of that stuff's happy. But what about when the Lord wants to put you in a bad situation? Now, y'all understand, he wasn't getting three squares and watching Fox News all day long in his little 6x9 cell. He was sinking down in the mire, bound up, beaten. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, he said in prisons more frequent. In other words, of stripes, of beatings, of all the things he endured, and he kept enduring them over and over and over again. He said, hey, I am a prisoner. Let me say this to you, and I want y'all to hear me. All the rest of that may have been easy. It's a little rough whenever you're in a confined, unwanted, dark spot, and you're there because the Lord wanted you to be there. All right, now listen, this is the helpful part of the message, I hope. It's the helpful part. Y'all listen to me. Anybody in here ever got, listen, as far as we're standing, anybody in here ever heard the Apostle Paul preach? Not one of us. Anybody in here ever read one of his letters? Are y'all listening to me? You know how many letters he wrote from prison? He wrote 5 of them. Let's go through some of them 5 letters. Book of Ephesians. You ever got any help out of the book of Ephesians? For by grace are we saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The way we know we got saved through by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, because the book of Ephesians. You know how to deal with warfare? Ephesians chapter number 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, rulers, dark spirits, weakness, and high place. Please saying this. Ephesians is a pretty good book. What about Philippians? You ever got any joy out of that? You ever gotten reading down there where he gets talking about what we ought to be thinking on and what our minds ought to be on and all of a sudden we got some joy out of that book? What about the book of Colossians? You ever found a book that makes Christ any better than what it does in the book of Colossians? That in all things he should have the preeminence. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's a pretty good book. What about 2 Timothy? You ever got any help out of 2 Timothy? Get down there to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. That ever helped anybody? Fought a good fight? Finished my course? Kept the faith? You ever got any help out of that? Amen. I guarantee you have. Huh? What about Philemon over there? Boy, whenever he gets over there and he is talking about him and he says, whatever he owes you, he said, put that on my account. That ever helped anybody? Whatever he gets talking about, how he used to be unprofitable, but now he's profitable. That ever help you? All I'm saying is this. In the time when the Apostle Paul helped us most was probably in the time when he felt like he was least used. Y'all listen? Paul probably wondered why he was chained up, why he's not getting out and being preached the gospel. But if Paul was out preaching the gospel, we probably wouldn't have these letters. I'm glad Paul was chained up. Y'all glad he was chained up? I'm simply saying this, probably some of y'all's best stories that you're going to have in your life, some of the best testimonies you'll ever have, will not be when things are going well. But in your darkest, darkest time, when everything else is around you that says that ought to be the end, and instead you're still standing, man, that's when people want to hear what you got to say. Let me finish this up real quickly. Last one, Book of Philemon. Turn there with me. I didn't mean to preach as long as I did. You go home and you can't sleep tonight, I'm sorry. Book of Philemon, turn there with me. Right before the book of Hebrews, little old chapter. Book of Philemon, we find these. Paul the brother, Paul the apostle, Paul the servant, Paul the prisoner. I like this one real good. I got to thinking about Brother Savage. Chapter 1, of course, it's only one chapter, verse 9. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged. Man, what a great title. Paul the aged. Let me say this to you. Now, I want you to listen to me real quickly, and I'll be done. There's some things that Paul could say as an old man that probably folks wouldn't receive as a young man. I've listened to people make this mistake. See, they think, listen, we got Brother Savage messing. There's things that Brother Savage can say in the pulpit that let's say AJ could not say. You think that's right? You better believe it. There's some things that we would take from him that we wouldn't take from somebody else. You know why? Because he's got 55 years of living for God behind what he's about to say. That's why Brother Mitchell could say some of the things he could say. And I've heard other people try to say them. And they'd take them from Brother Mitchell and they'd want to fight somebody else in the parking lot. Amen. You know why? Because you got 60 years worth of living right behind what you say. There's things that I can say in this church as a pastor that evangelists come in right behind me and try to say the same things and y'all wouldn't take it. Amen. See, there's some influence. There's some influence. Whenever Paul is writing this letter and he says, hey, I'm the aged, there's some influence that comes with that that you don't have when you're 18 and you ain't got when you're 28. Whenever you've been on this road and you're in your 60s and your 70s and you've been living faithfully for the Lord, there's things Miss Irene could say to our young ladies, I want you to listen to me, that they would take from her that they would not take from somebody who's their own age. Is that right or not right? Am I telling that right? Y'all getting quiet on me again. It makes me nervous every time you do. I mean, there's some things that Tammy could say or that Terry could say that some of these ladies could say. Maybe Alyssa, you couldn't say. If you said it to Chloe, she'd probably take it in a different spirit. You said it to Lily, she'd take it in a different spirit. But if Terry Neal came over and put her arm around her and said, hey, listen, we could do something a little different right here. And it'd be a little more holy. I'd take it. Don't you think that's right? Yeah, see, they got some influence. But I want you to notice this. Paul, as an old man, I want you to notice what his interest is in. He's interested in somebody who's not their past where they was unprofitable, but he's interested in what they will be. If Brother Savage would stand up right now, I mean, he's not going to, and I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but if he would stand right now, I'll promise you what he'd tell you is this. There's probably some things he's real hard on some folks, but right now, I'd say there's probably never been a time he's wanted more people to succeed than what he does right now. Wants them to be profitable and understands what they can be. Paul was the same way. Paul, matter of fact, you remember over there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, take Paul with thee, for he is profitable to the ministry. Are you glad he done that? You like that Gospel of Mark? You ever got any help out of it? That was written from somebody who at one point in time was written off. And then all of a sudden somebody came along and said, you know what, you might still yet be profitable. If we was all honest, there's times in our lives we was unprofitable. But I think, Apostle Paul said it like this. He said he's become all things to all men. Let me ask you this. Let's stand to our feet. Ask you, listen, genuinely. They come, Alyssa, Josh. As they come, I want y'all to listen to me. I want you to hear me. Paul said, I become all things to all men. As Christians, could you go through that same list? Could you say, I'm a good brother? I respect my calling. Could you say I'm a good servant? Now, let's be honest. Whenever you go down through that whole list of everything we are, we say, man, we're on this road for a long time and we want to see people be profitable. We're Paul the aged. Or you say, listen, I like being Paul the prisoner. Or you say, I'm tickled to death to be a prisoner for the cause of Christ. I don't know what you need tonight. As they sing, what song are we going to sing? Page 410.